what businesses are yielding the best multiples on 2025? What should you focus on building next? And should you consider selling your business right now? That's the topic of today's episode. Welcome to the Indie Founder Podcast. My name is Tiago, I'm a bootstrapper, and today we'll be analyzing a report made by Flippa.com. Before we do that, let me just tell you, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you want to support me, make sure to scroll up if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, or actually any platform. You can give a review to this episode, to this podcast, and it will help us with the algorithm to get more listeners. As well, if you click on the follow button, you'll get notified every time I release a new episode. And if you're on Spotify and you're feeling a little bit playful, there is a comment section now that you can go and give your opinion on this episode. If I'm, you know, correct me if I'm saying something wrong, or just saying hi. Just do that and I'll make sure to answer to all of your comments. I think it would be really, really fun. Every Monday, there's a new episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. Now, let's get started. First of all, Flippa.com is a website, like a marketplace to sell your digital business. Either it's not only for SaaS, actually. So it's for SaaS, for apps, for blogs, whatever. It's kind of a micro acquire. They are not sponsoring these episodes. They actually reach out to me because they're in their marketing strategy because they wanted me to kind of advertise PodSqueeze there, or actually to sell PodSqueeze there. And that's how I got to know this company and I got this report. They made this really thorough, really interesting report with a lot of interesting analytics about that comes obviously from their platform, but has a lot of really cool insights on the whole digital world and business, online businesses. So I already read this report and I will just give you the high notes and the cool things that I've learned. So let's get started. The first thing we learn from this report is that buyers are more sophisticated and selective. So the deals that are $100,000 or plus are leading the charge. So they have grown 40%. And this is probably connected with the fact that there is a lot of volatility in the market right now with the Trump administration, with tariffs, with wars, with everything like that, that now buyers prefer paying more for a business that is more resilient than paying less for something that is more risky. Another interesting fact is that 38% of the buyers are now, or actually there was an increase rather of 38% in business owners that are now considering an exit. So this is also something that might not be very surprising. They don't really say why, but I'm assuming that, again, because of the volatility of the market, people might think, okay, it's better to sell now, get the money into something safer than just continue building my business. So these are two interesting facts, two interesting statistics to start things off. Now, one thing that I've learned about this whole report is that one can sell their YouTube business. I guess this is not very surprising, but I never really thought about this. And there was an increase of 3,600% on deals closed with YouTube businesses. And they say that it's probably connected with the fact that the platform, you know, keeps growing so much. So I will give some more numbers about or related to these YouTube businesses. But for now, it's quite interesting to see that there's actually people buying and YouTube channels, which I thought that YouTube channels were always a bit connected to one creator. So the fact that you can sell it, it's very interesting to me. E-commerce has grown 28% and SaaS 19%. So very positive, very healthy. Another surprising thing that I took from this report is the fact that there is a lot of demand for content businesses. These are blogs, I guess newsletters, and there was actually recently here in the platform one 28-year-old website that was sold for close to half a million dollars. So this was a blog with in the sports industry, and this was sold by a whopping 6.6 multiple. So they were making around 8K MRR and they sold it for $500,000. That's incredible. That's really, really crazy. I guess it's not very surprising because it's, I guess, a very low maintenance type of business, right? Once you have a good authority on Google once you have great content, you just have to keep writing content, but still everything that you wrote in the past is still ranking. It's not a business that I would recommend anyone to start now as their first project as an entrepreneur, as a bootstrapper, because it takes a long time. So here it took almost 30 years for them to be able to sell the business, but then they sold for 6.6 profit multiple, which is absolutely crazy. So there is a big demand, as well, as we said, for YouTube, as well for Shopify keywords. So people here, when they search for businesses in Flippa.com, they try to get this data and they share this data with us. And the Shopify keyword was searched around 66,000 times. It's by far the word that was searched the most. And then after that, there is the YouTube keyword, and only has half of that searches, around 34,000 searches. So very interesting as well, right? So there's a lot of people searching for e-commerces, and it's a bit surprising because the multiples of e-commerces are not that high. And now I'll share a bit more about this in once we get to that section. But I guess, again, it's another business that people want to buy because it's a simple business. Once the store is set up, once they have already clients, once they have a distribution channel, I guess I don't really know. I've never had such a business, but I guess they only have to get a little bit more items to sell. If you're selling clothes, if you have everything set up, you just have to maybe kind of update a little bit your stock, or even you don't even need to do that. Maybe it's a shop that is just there and you already have the clients and you have kind of consistent MRR. It could be that. I don't know, but there is a lot of demand for that. The least searched keyword is crypto. So it's health and crypto, which, again, not very surprising because crypto, it had its days, right? A lot of people were into crypto, but now it's a bit of a dodgy place. So people don't, I don't know, at least I feel that there's still like cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin is on the rise, but crypto in general without the other coins and the NFTs, there was a lot of scam going on, so people don't trust it so much. One interesting thing that I'm going to tell you now is how long normally does it take to close a deal? So here they say that for a deal that is around 100K, it can take more than 12 months. So that's a lot. It's, again, something to consider, right? So if you want to sell a business, and especially if it's a business that you want to sell for 100K or more, you need to consider that it will take time. So if you want to sell it for a good price, you cannot be in need of that money, okay? So just think ahead and think, okay, maybe in a year, 2 years, I'll need that money. Let me already start looking for buyers because it might take a while. Now, there are ways to influence this deal speed, and they do share them here in this report. One thing that influences the deal speed is the business complexity. Obviously, the more complex the business is, there is more due diligence required, and it just takes more time to complete the deal and the sell. The deal value. Larger transactions may involve more stakeholders and people need to be more careful, so it takes more time. Obviously, if you're selling something for 10K, I guess you can close that fairly fast. But if it's $1 million, $2 million, then it will take more time. Then another aspect is buyer or seller readiness. So how focused each one of you are in selling or buying the business. If you have all the documentation prepared, if you are very responsive in all the questions and in the communication and so on, that can significantly shorten the deal times. And then last but not least, the broker support. So if you hire someone to help you, they can expedite a lot of things. It's something that I've read recently, the book from Rob Walling and his wife on how to exit a company. And even in other type of content, they always recommend for you to hire a broker. Again, if you're selling something for 10K, 20K, 30K, maybe it's not worth it. But if you're selling something for 100K, half a million, 1 million, it might be worth it to think about having a broker because they know people, they can like get you better valuations and help you navigate these muddy waters of selling a business. So this was the deal time. Now let's talk about deal sizes. So who are the buyers? Who is the buyer type? First, we have companies. So there are companies buying other companies. No surprise there. These are companies that are doing roughly deals of 2 million, average of 2 million. So they are not interested in small businesses. They are not interested in businesses that are making, I guess, 2, 3, 4, 5K MRR. They want something more. And obviously, they are also looking for other metrics like churn and growth and so on. So it's not only the MRR. Then we have entrepreneurs, so single entrepreneurs, and they are making deals of around 200K. So probably, let's say, if I would be in that situation that I wanted to buy a business, probably I would either be fitted here in the entrepreneurs or in the other one that I'll tell you about. But yeah, there are entrepreneurs, and I've met a few indie makers that acquire SaaS and other businesses, and they will be going through or buying in that category of prices. And then they speak about these side hustlers. Side hustlers, they are people that are making deals of around 40K average. I don't really know who these type of people are, but I assume it's someone that is getting into the entrepreneurship world now. And they want to expedite things, and they just want to buy a business that already made either an app or something, and they just want to get into that without having the hassle of like building it from the ground up. So now, global reach, they call it. Something very interesting. So where are most businesses being made? And again, no surprise here, it's USA. So USA still dominates with 50% of all the businesses deals coming from the USA. So there's a lot of money here. They say that the United States of America, they have a budget of $48 billion to buy this kind of businesses. So it's a lot of money, really a lot of money. And they also give, I guess, some funny facts here on the longest deal and the shortest deal. The longest deal was made between US and a country that is close to 16,000 kilometers or 10,000 miles apart, which was Indonesia. Yeah, so wow, imagine, this is the beauty of the internet, right? Like making a deal with a buyer or a seller, they are so far away, and that they probably never actually met. So this was a YouTube channel. This was a YouTube channel that was sold for $400,000. And that's incredible. I don't know if they did meet in person for that amount of money. Maybe they did meet, but maybe they didn't. So it's the beautiful thing of this. The closest deal was just 10 minutes walk. So it was just a 10-minute walk between these two, the buyer and the seller. And it was in Dubai, and it was a 60K deal. And they met each other online, which is, again, the beauty of the internet. It's connecting you with people that are in another continent and then connecting you with your neighbors. So that's very interesting. Now let's talk about valuation multiples, the moment you were all waiting for. And here, oh boy, there's a lot of things that I was not expecting here. So let's dig deep into these numbers. First of all, there's apps. So if you're selling apps, either whatever, Android, iOS, I'm going to give you the average and then the top multiple. The average is 1.75x, so it's less than double. So it's not a lot. And the max, so the top is 3.6. Okay. It's good, 3.6, but it's not crazy, right? So it's not crazy. Again, these numbers come from Flippa's website, so I assume that it does not represent obviously all the M&As. So this only represents the M&As made through, I guess, these marketplaces. Then the content websites, right, the blogs and things we talked about, the average, this is the average. The average profit multiple is 2.6. Okay, so almost three times. And this is the average. The max or the top is more than five. That's crazy. This is crazy. This was probably one of the most surprising things I got here. That you can make a blog and sell it, if it's a really good one, sell it for five times whatever it's making. That's absurd. It's really, this is really making me consider that we should, at, you know, me and my co-founder and I should definitely invest in a blog and this type of content, maybe even buy something and then make it better, because it's absolutely crazy. One thing they do say here is that because of the whole, you know, Google algorithm updates and then the Perplexity and the LLMs, you know, ChatGPT, buyers now, they are looking for these blogs that have really good content, so they don't want the AI stuff, and they want blogs that are resilient, that even though we pass through this all of this Google algorithm updates, that they were able to keep their revenue, they were able to keep their traffic. So that's really important. So you need to make a really great blog, but if you do, then you can have really nice multiples. And I think a blog is something that is somehow passive, right? Like with, at least with SEO, my experience is once you create this content, the content is still ranking, like even old content. You can create a blog and this blog can have thousands and thousands of views per month for years without you touching it. So it's really, really amazing. Then we go to the e-commerce, which is, as you remember, the Shopify keyword, it was the most searched one with more than 60,000 searches. And the multiple is not so great. It's, the average one is 1.5 and the top is close to 3. So, I mean, 3 times what your store is worth is good, but it's not huge. Then we go to marketplaces. Marketplaces go between 2 and 4 multiple. Again, not amazing because it's so hard to make a marketplace, right? If you want to start something right now, a marketplace is the chicken and the egg problem. You need to buy, you know, find the sellers and find the buyers if you're making like a marketplace like Flippa, for instance, or anything like that. So I was expecting that because it's so hard to build, it would give a better multiple. YouTube channels go between 1.8, so close to double, and 3.7. So you can either double or quadruple your YouTube channel, which is, it's good, surprisingly good. Again, I thought a YouTube channel was so much connected to one person, one face, that the fact that you're able to sell it, I don't know what type of content is this. Maybe these AI YouTube channels or more kind of infographic channels, I don't know. But yes, I don't know if they sell it, but then you still kind of work on it. I don't really understand how these deals work. Maybe something for me to research and then create an episode on that. But it's good deals. So between 2 and 4. SaaS, you know, SaaS, it's, I guess, what most of you make. I make SaaS. SaaS, really good, obviously. So it's, the average is 2.9, so 3x. And the top is 6x. So again, SaaS are still the top thing to build. So it's something that you can build quite fast. It's something that, so for instance, if you go back to the content, right, the blog, again, it will take you years to sell. The other one that was sold for $500,000 took 28 years. So you probably will not be able to build a blog in 1-2 years and sell it. It will take more than that. It will take maybe at least, I would say, 5 years. Whereas a SaaS, you can. A SaaS, you can build it in 1 year or 2 years and sell it, because you don't require so much authority, it just grows faster, and you don't need to create so much content. So it's still a great deal, right? So analyzing this, we can see that SaaS and content are still the best deals. And again, SaaS gives you an average multiple of 3-6x. Amazing. And then we go to services. Services is between 1.1 and 2x. So obviously, services like consultancy companies, basically what you're selling is your customer base. So it's, I guess, not worth so much. And it has the probably pays a lot when you're working on it. But if you want to sell it, you will not be making a lot of money. One other thing that they mention is that the multiples are not so much connected to the deal size itself. So if you're selling something for, let's say, 100K or a million, the multiples will not change much. So I guess there are other things that will impact the multiple, like churn, revenue, MRR, growth, and resilience, a lot of these things. Now, what's the impact, the external impact of market factors? Something very important. So obviously, tariff crisis, right? So all the tariff crisis has impacted a lot the M&A industry. And what people are looking now, again, are for businesses that are resilient, businesses that went through, you know, let's say COVID, and then went through the tariff changes, went through the algorithm changes, and they are still there standing, making money with decent traffic. That's what people are looking for right now. And they're looking as well for AI integration. So companies that want to get very fast into the AI, they don't want to build it from scratch, they will just buy it. And again, the algorithm changes. So basically businesses that either are AI-based or businesses that are resilient. So they finished this report by giving advice to both sellers and buyers. For sellers, they say, okay, if you have a business that is resilient, that has proved to be resilient, then it's a good time to sell. And for buyers, it's a great opportunity to buy businesses that are not so resilient, but that they have potential to be, right? So again, if you have a blog that has lost a lot of views due to the algorithm changes, but you think that it's still a good niche and then you can make great content there, then it's maybe a great opportunity because the prices will be lower. You can buy it, make it resilient, make it robust, and then resell it. So maybe that's a great opportunity here. I think one word that comes to my mind is diversification, which is something that is not only for this type of digital business, but everything in life. If you're an investor, do not put your eggs all in one basket. Just try to spread it around. So the same with businesses. Like if you have a business, a SaaS or something, don't be reliant on one single platform, one single marketing distribution. Try to diversify. So a few things that I've learned that I probably will be taking out of this report is definitely thinking about diversifying my SaaS, like building other SaaS, as well for PodSqueeze, making sure that it's robust, and maybe consider building a blog or a content site. I think a YouTube channel is too much work. It's a lot of money investment as well, but a blog is still something that is fairly cheap to build or to buy and like reconstruct. So I will definitely be talking with my co-founder about the possibility of investing on a blog. And I know that we will not be making money out of that right away. It's not something to build in 1 year and sell, but it's maybe something to have in our portfolio and sell it in 10 years or so. So those are the things I've learned. I think this report is really interesting. I will share the link to this report on the show notes of this episode if you want to go and check it for yourself and get all these numbers. And I hope you enjoyed this content. Again, if you did, make sure to share it with your friends, to give it a review, to leave a comment, all those things. And before I let you go, let me recommend another episode for you to listen, which is episode 349. It's an episode from this podcast, obviously, called How Indie Makers Can Leverage Press Releases. So it's me sharing some of the things we've learned that have yielded great results on getting featured on relevant newsletters for free. We have made a lot of mistakes. We have spent a lot of money, a lot of time in things that did not work. And we finally found something that worked. So in episode 349, I share that with you. And I think it will be very valuable for you to listen to that and to apply in your own business. So this was another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. There will be another episode next Monday. Until then, have a great week.